We have been in a series called Toxins. I'll just say this. If today is the first time you're with us and the first time you've heard me say that we're in a series called Toxins, welcome to the end. You might feel like you've missed something. You did. It's okay. They're all online. It's probably worth it to go back and watch some of that. We've looked at, here's just some of the toxins that we've looked at. They all start with I-N because tox ends, right? Tell the person next to you, Paul is a genius. Actually, I'm not, but Google is really good, right? So here's what we've looked at. If I say one that you missed, then just go back on the website and find them. We've looked at the toxins of insufficiency, indecision, indifference, ineffectiveness, insomnia, and inconsistency. I will say my favorite was probably insomnia, just because I had a lot of people that the week after that tell me, like, ever since you talked about insomnia, I can't sleep. I don't know what that probably means. I need to preach better. I don't know. But here's what I want you to remember. On the very first week that we talked about this series, we talked about another IN word. It was inputs. And we said this, that a healthy body doesn't need to detox, because a healthy body has built into that body systems that detox the body. I'm not trying to be crass. I'm just saying that's why you sweat, pee, and poop, because that's the way your body eliminates toxins. The reason why we have a gazillion-dollar industry for detoxing is because we aren't healthy. Right? And so we try to find that magic thing that fixes the body. So I said that when a body is healthy, it naturally releases the toxins. And just then we made this statement. I do think that we can learn a lot about the body of Christ from the way that our bodies physically are made. Right? Because the same creator made them. And so if it's true physically, then I think it's also true spiritually. That if the body of Christ is functioning in a healthy way, then we still want to go to camp. We still want to go to convention. We still want to do if gatherings. I mean, there's things that we'd like to do. We still want to have worship nights. We have those moments that are like, man, this is amazing. But we don't put our trust in that one moment to keep us healthy, because the body is functioning in a healthy way. Does that make sense? And I just know, like, you know, I don't know what your church background is. I told you I'm a church mutt, but a lot of my years have been in a Pentecostal setting. And Pentecostals, for better or for worse, we're probably the ones that are the worst at putting all of our hope in a moment to fix things. And we need those moments, but we also need to learn how to walk in a healthy way from them. And that's what this series has been all about. I want to end today. We started it with, if the body's healthy, it won't need to detox. It'll release its toxins naturally. I want to end with, what does a healthy body do when those toxins are released? But first, let me tell you this. You might know this about me, but someday I hope to run the Boston Marathon. So because I want to run the Boston Marathon, I know quite a bit about it. I know that you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which is why I haven't run it yet. Because you have to run it, you have to run a qualifying marathon. You have to go to a marathon that somebody has measured and they have said, somebody in Boston goes, yes, that's legit a qualifying course. And if you run a certain time on that course, you would qualify to then be able to come to Boston and run here. And so at my age, I know that I would have to run 8 minute 13 second miles for 26.2 miles in order to finish in time to qualify for Boston. Do you feel that? I'm tired just saying that, y'all. Are you kidding me? I also know that in Boston, most of the race is downhill, slightly downhill. And then because it's slightly downhill, your body kind of gets used to that. And then there's four little inclines. And the last of the four inclines comes right at about mile 20. If you've ever run a marathon, that's the worst time for a hill to show up. And it's called Heartbreak Hill. And it's actually only half a mile long. And it only goes up at a 3.3 angle incline. But because of where it's positioned, it just takes a lot of runners out. I also know this, that in Boston, is anybody here from Boston? Okay. In Boston, there's this big Citgo gas sign. Have you seen it? It's right next to Fenway Park. And I am the nerd that watches the marathon on my computer. I stream it. I watch it. I know y'all don't. You're like, why would you do that? I love it. I know that when I run the Boston Marathon and I look up and see that humongous Citgo sign, that I will know that I'm 1 mile from the finish line. So I know a lot about the Boston Marathon, but let me ask you this question. It's not a trick question. When will I know the joy of finishing the Boston Marathon? When I run it, right? There is blessing in the doing. John 13:17, I think we might have this, we can put it up on the screen. It says this, now that you know these things, Jesus says, you'll be blessed if you do them. I'm not making that up. That's Jesus. He said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed when? If you do them. So this morning I want to tackle the last toxin, and it is the toxin of inactivity. Statistics from the CDC. Don't boo them. They're a legit place. About 1 in 2 adults. Somebody do the quick math. What percentage is that? 50%. So about 50% of adults in our country do not get enough aerobic physical activity. I can hear y'all right now. You're like, dude, just preach about Jesus. Leave my body alone. Right? I hear you. I'm going somewhere, okay? Hang with me. Tell the person next to you, it's not really about your body. I've always wanted to say that. Some of y'all are like, this is such an awkward Sunday at the gathering, right? I just told a complete stranger, it's not really about your body. And they're like, yeah, right. 77% of high school students don't get enough aerobic physical activity. 77%. This is the one that got me. 117 billion with a B. 117 billion is what our country spends in annual health care costs that are related to low physical activity. I just got curious. I was like, if our country could save $117 billion because we suddenly became active and we didn't have health care costs related to inactivity, how fast could we pay off our national debt? It's still a long time, but it's like 270 years. But at our current rate, it's forever, right? Here's what physical activity can do in our body that's good. It can improve sleep. It can increase, this is funny, it can increase our ability to perform everyday activities. That's good, yeah. I just want to drink coffee and not spill it. Okay. I need this one. It improves cognitive ability. Yes. And it reduces the risk of dementia. Just physical activity, y'all. It improves bone and musculoskeletal health. Did I just cuss? Did that just happen? It makes your muscles feel better, and it makes your skeleton feel better, too. We have a guest pastor today. Would you like to come take over? So let me give you the big idea. Healthy bodies work. Those are the three words I want you to remember. Healthy bodies work. Now, in parentheses, I put a disclaimer, and I want to make sure that you understand this. Healthy bodies work in the right way at the right time. Okay? Because if you've got insomnia and you're up working when you should be sleeping, then you don't have a healthy body. Again, I'm not sleep shaming anybody here. I'm just like helping you understand the concept. Healthy bodies work in the right way at the right time. They do what we would expect them to do, and they do what we would expect when we would expect to see it. That's really important because a healthy body works in ways we expect and in rhythms that we expect. And we talked a ton about rhythms in the first message of this series. I want to make sure that we understand rhythms. Because if not, then what's going to happen right now is you're already starting to think of more things you can do to get from God what you think you should be getting from God. Or I'll be a better Christian if I do more things. And that's not what, when it's healthy bodies work, it's not about like, go do a bunch of stuff. It's, am I functioning the way I should function when I should function in that way? Does that make sense? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I was at the funeral for Les Malden's father yesterday. Les, there you are, man. Again, I love you. We're sorry for your loss. And I sat there and I was like, literally at a funeral, my message got confirmed because the pastor read this passage. It's right here in my notes. I was like, wow. Anyway, we love you. We're sorry for your loss. Here's what he read. Maybe you've heard this. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to be silent and a time to speak. I just feel like I should really emphasize that one. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What I want you to see is that there's rhythm and season to life, right? So there is a time to really work hard and give ourselves fully to a task, and there's also a time to recover from that time so that we can give ourselves fully to the next season when we want to give ourselves fully to work that God gives us to do. Does that make sense? I just want to really make sure you get that. And the reason I want you to get that is because I'm getting ready to stop preaching and I'm just going to read scripture. Because when I was studying for this and I was just looking up, like, if the Bible says anything about work, y'all, the Bible says a lot about work. And as I was reading it, it just got weightier and weightier. And like the undeniable, I've got a couple lawyers in the house, right? That undeniable, like, you can't refute what I'm saying now, right? I mean, lawyers don't actually talk like that, but wouldn't it be cool if they did? Like, there's just the proof. There's so much evidence. It's hard to refute it. And I started feeling that when I was reading these scriptures. And I just want to read them to you. And what's going to happen is, I hope, I pray, that we're as a body going to start to feel the same weight. Like, whoo, wow, we might need to get busy doing stuff for God. And we'll start leaning that way. And we'll forget that all of it is because of what Jesus did. Right? Because that's the weight of Scripture, is that Jesus did these things for us. Just a couple things that hopefully you will remember. This isn't about working for our salvation. It's about working because of our salvation. We are saved by grace for works. Let me say that one more time, because it just jacked up some theology. We're saved by grace for works. No, brother. No, I'm saved by grace for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 says, for it is by grace you've been saved. We've been saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good what? Works. Which he prepared in advance for us to do. So basically, God says, I saved you. Get busy. Get busy doing what I made you for. Tell the person next to you, you were made for this. I know that a lot of us have been burned with this kind of teaching. Not this teaching, but with the false, incorrect teaching that Christians should do more and be more. And like, I remember at, I'm at a coffee shop talking with you, Adam. Like, he was like, I don't know, man. Sometimes I'm at church and it's like, I feel like everybody's just trying to get something more. And I think we can be guilty of that. Like, if I just sing louder, jump higher, we forget that everything we do is a response to what he's done for us. Not twisting your arm to get you on my side. All these things about works, they're a response to what he's done. When I call you at the end to a response of works, it's in response to what he's done. So here's a lengthy list of verses. Are you ready? Tell the person next to you, Paul's done preaching. You're going to really know the person next to you today, right? Here we go. Just jot down these. They're not going to be on the screen. Just jot down the references. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. 1 John 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed, in truth. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer of acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. James 2, 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 4:17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. James 2:26, James is a tough book, isn't it? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Ephesians 2:10, we just read it a minute ago. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of it, of that which is truly life. Daniel 11:32. He will seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Ecclesiastes 9:2. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Psalm 119, verse 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. 2 Chronicles 31, 21, in every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Colossians 3, 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Proverbs 3, 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And I'll just wrap my sermon up the way Jesus wrapped up his greatest and most famous sermon. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after he had taught them a whole bunch of stuff, and there was a lot of new information, and boy, don't we want to learn something new? But most of us in this room, we don't need to learn anything new. We just need to get busy doing what we already know. And Jesus looked at that crowd, and in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, this is how he wrapped up his sermon. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I want to be very clear as I finish this. You have one of these, either you're sitting on it right now, which means it's warm, or it's next to you, or it's in the seat in front of you. This is for people who the gathering is your home, right? You're a planted member here. You attend here like this is, you know, your church. I've said this so many times before. We're never more like Jesus than when we serve, because he came not to be served but to serve, right? Our service is actually what shows people Jesus. People often don't want anything to do with Christianity, not because they don't like Jesus, but because they don't like people that call themselves Christians. And serving people changes that. We just read a whole bunch of scriptures about doing. Healthy bodies work. They work. They do what they should when they should. And I want to call you to that. My prayer, Wendy's prayer, is that our church would become the healthiest church on the planet. And if we're a healthy church, it means that we're not going to just sit and think about new material that we want to learn. Teach me something snazzy today, Paul. If we're a healthy church, it means that we're going to work. We're going to work when we should, doing what we should. We're going to work at finding the gifts that God's given us. We're going to work at knowing, like, this is the work I was made for. And you've had those moments in a religious setting or maybe at work where you have done something and you have said to yourself, I was made for this. That's what we want to fuel at the gathering. We want to help you find that. And I believe this, that more times than not, you'll find it as you serve. Because you'll serve in areas, and you'll be like, this is not what I was made for. Has that happened to you? Yeah. Right? They asked me to greet, and all I could say was, how's it going today? So good to have you at the gathering. It's like, okay, Eeyore, maybe you weren't made for being a greeter, right? But are you good with numbers? We could use some help on the counting team, right? I mean, like, let's get you back here away from people, right? Is that okay to say? I've heard some of you teach, and I've thought, man, you were made for that. You might be made for it more than I'm made for it, right? We want to help you find that. Some of you give like crazy. Some of you, your faces light up as we get closer to December, not because it's almost Christmas, but because it's almost big give time. And you're like, this is the one, y'all. I've been waiting. You start like doing this, You know, like, I've been waiting for this Sunday, y'all, big give. You're made for it. You're a giver. And we want to help you find what you're made to do. And then go do it. But just like the Boston Marathon, I can think about it, I can dream about it, I can watch other people run it. But at some point, I have to start doing the things that can help me get to the Boston Marathon. And if I die and don't get to run it, what did I lose? Absolutely nothing. The blessing is in the doing. The blessing is in the doing. And so I'm going to call you to do, right? If you're a family member of the gathering, right? If this is where you come to church, I'm going to ask you to start serving. And the way you're going to apply this message is you're just going to fill out that card, or you're going to scan that QR code, or you're going to text that keyword to that number. Hey, Paul, why are you doing this? Do we just not have enough servant leaders? Yes. But we never will. That's why Jesus said, hey, look, y'all, the harvest is great, but we don't have enough workers, so why don't you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field? Jesus, why are you saying that? Is it because you don't have enough workers? And Jesus would say, yes. I don't know why we think that's a bad thing. I would like to actually experience such a great harvest that we never have enough people to serve. So sometimes we think when preachers start talking about things that we should be doing, it's because they're mad that people aren't doing it. I'm not mad. I just want you to be blessed. And the blessing, I didn't make this up, y'all. Some of you are like, you just want me to be blessed. Oh, you're just channeling your inner Joel Osteen. Y'all, I don't know where you are on the Joel Osteen spectrum. It doesn't matter to me. I just know that Jesus, that's the man that we're following, right? You remember him? He said, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And you already know these things, which is why you're like, really, that's it? You're just going to read the Bible to us? You're not going to tell us anything really snazzy and great about serving? No, because you already know you should. We already know we should be serving. And I don't mean should in a bad way. I just mean like it's what's expected. And healthy bodies work. They function the way they were made to function when they were made to function. So some of you, when you look at this list, if you're following Jesus and you're like, I got nothing to give, then your season right now might be on the sideline under that tent that athletes walk into when they're injured so that you can, like, recover your life. I think there's something in there in the Bible about that. Jesus said something like, come away with me, all you who are, like, burned out on religion, and I'll help you recover your strength. I'll help you learn the rhythms of my grace. You heard it as, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? He wants us to be rested so that we can serve and follow him just like he served people. So, pull that out. I'm going to ask you to hold it while we pray. Some of you are like, it's getting too real. Next, he's going to ask me to grab a pen. There's a pen in front of you. Or we have plenty at the back. Next, he's going to expect me to write on it. Yes. If you want to do that while I pray, that's fine too. But I want to just pray that God would show you where to start. A bunch of you are going to come up here and you're going to ask me about the Boston Marathon. The point of this message is not really like Paul wants to run the Boston Marathon. I just want you to get the fact that I can know a bunch about something and never do it, and I'm nothing but somebody who knows a bunch about something. It means I could do well on Jeopardy in a category of the Boston Marathon, but I'm not good to anybody. So I want you to start where you are. Can I tell you what I'm doing right now? Heartbreak Hill is half a mile long at 3.3 incline. So when I go to the gym and get on a treadmill and I run, I try to end most of my runs at a 4% incline for half a mile. Why would I do that? Because if I ever do get to run that marathon and I get to Heartbreak Hill, I want to be like Heartbreak Bump, right? I was ready for you, right? I'm doing something in preparation for something else. And I want to ask you to consider that this morning as I pray, that you would consider, God, what on this sheet? And if it's not on there, let's figure something out. What is something I could do that would help you prepare me for something else that you might be calling me to in the future? All right, hold that sheet, that card. Father, we're just holding this in front of us, and we're asking you to guide us. I thank you for the gathering. I thank you for this amazing group of people who I know our heart is to honor you, and our heart is to be about the doing, not just about learning more stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God, I pray that information would become application and that would result in transformation in our body. And so as we pause at the end of this service and simply ask you, God, show me where I could begin to serve. I pray that you would reveal it to us, God, and that we would obediently scan a QR code, text a keyword, grab a pen, and do something about it. Because we're blessed if we do these things. In Jesus' name, amen.